ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತಿಕರಾದ ಶಿವ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರವಾಕ್ಯವೃಂದ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 20 ವರ್ಸ್ 12 ಯದ್ಯಾಪ್ಯಸಾವಧಾನೇನ ಮಂ ಬಾಧೀಯಾತನಾಗಸಂ ತಥಾಪ್ಯೇ ನಾಂ ಹಿಂಸ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಬೀಟಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತನಂ ರಿಪುಂ
Tatapi, still, enam, against him, na, not, himsasye, I shall not take any retaliation. Vitam, because he is afraid. Brahma, tanu, having assumed the form of a brahmana, brahmachari. Ripum, even though he is my enemy. Translation, although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. Purport, if Lord Vishnu, as he is, had come to Bali Maharaj and asked him to do something, Bali Maharaj certainly would not have refused his request. But to enjoy a little humor between himself and his devotee, the Lord covered himself as a brahmana, brahmachari, and thus came to Bali Maharaj to beg for only 3 feet of land. So here we have the revelation by Bali himself that he knows that accepts that Vamana is actually the Supreme Lord. And though he understands this, still he is willing to grant his request. And even if that means that he has to suffer as a result, even if he commits violence against him, as it says in this verse. So he will have to, even if he suffers pain when he surrenders to the Lord, he will abide by the Lord. And one of the, of course, one is he is Vishnu or Supreme Lord. The other is he is disguised as a brahmana, brahmachari, and as a king, kshatriya, and according to dharma, he has to respect him properly. So we have many verses in the stated by Krishna himself, how one must respect the Brahmanas, particularly in the story of King Nriga. So there's a whole series of verses in which the Lord praises Brahmanas and how everyone must respect them, and if we don't, then we have to suffer. So Krishna himself respects the Brahmana. This is also one of the, even for the devotee, we see that in the Angas of Bhakti, the 10th Anga of Bhakti, which one of is the door to devotional service, we have to respect the Aspata and the Datri tree or Amla tree and Brahmanas. And of course these are cows and other living entities, Tulsi, etc. But the Brahmana is respected because he is human being and he's the best of the human beings, normal human beings in society. So respecting Brahmanas and cows is considered to be a regulative principle even for the Vaishnavas. So, of course, for regular Dharma, the Brahmana is also highly respected. And we see this operating even for the demons. They respect the Brahmanas. Huh? So Jarasandha respected the Brahmanas. And because Arjuna and Bhima came disguised as Brahmanas, so he granted their request because they were acting as Brahmanas. So here we see the Lord disguised himself as a Brahmana. Brahmachari, and Vamana, Bali says, I have to respect him because he's actually a Brahmana, even though it's a disguise. Of course, all the respect that we talk about in the material world, whether it's in Dharma or in Vaishnavism, is therefore a good reason. Where there's the whole section in the teachings of Kapila, where he talks about bhakti, and then he says, of course, you worship the form of the Lord and the deity, but then he says, you also have to respect all jivas, and if you don't respect all jivas, actually, you're not a devotee, because you have to see that I am in all these jivas, so if you don't respect the jivas, you do not respect me. So, respect for all jivas is there, of course. This Vaishnava principle, and it's also a dharmic principle. So therefore, we have statements like "Do not harm any living entity," etc. And of course, in the bhakti principles, we do have also "One should not harm any living entity and disturb any living entity." So it's also there. So respect for all living entities is there. That is carried over into the Shastika, where we see one has to give respect to all living entities as well. So. In general, we respect living entities, and then, of course, there's a whole hierarchy of lower and higher. Plants are lower than animals, and then among animals, we have superior animals like the cow, and then humans are superior to animals, and among human beings, those who follow Varnashram system are higher, and in Varnashram system, those who are Brahmanas are higher, and among Brahmanas, those who are actually following the principles and understand everything properly, they are higher. And then, better than them are the Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. So all these living entities are worthy of some sort of respect. And why? Because the Lord is also present in these living entities. And, of course, in the Vaishnava, he is even more present, because the Lord says, I live in my devotee, and my devotee lives in me. So he is personally present there. He isn't present in the others as Paramatma, and he simply acts as the witness. But he's nevertheless there. And in every living entity, what does he do there? He doesn't have to do anything in one sense, because he's made arrangements in the material world, but he ultimately is the source of their existence and their life. So he is the maintainer of all living entities. And if he cuts the connection, they cannot live. The jiva will no longer be a jiva if the relationship with the Lord is cut. He will be dead. He will not be conscious anymore. So So the consciousness of the jiva, his ability to act, his ability to know, his ability to experience, is all because of Supreme Lord. So he is the giver of life to the jivas in the material world. Of course, he is the giver of existence even to material things, all the material elements, all the material objects. He is also the source of whatever qualities they have. And for that reason, we have in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, a list of vibhutis of the Lord, in which the Lord says, I am the Aspata tree, or I am the Mount Meru, or I am the Himalayas, or whatever. So some of these objects are material things, some are animals, some are plants. And the Lord is there in the sense that he is Paramatma, the living things. But even if they're not living, he is the cause of the excellent qualities of those particular objects, so that they have some beauty or some power. So there's a relationship of everything with the Supreme Lord. And because of that, then we have to give respect to these different things. So therefore, there is respect for all living entities. But as I said, the Lord is more manifest in the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava among all people is very dear to the Lord because of his devotion. The Lord is controlled by devotion. And among those human beings who are not devotees, then we have the Varnashram system, and the Brahmana is the one person situated in Sattva-guna. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of all the gunas, I prefer Sattva-guna. So among human beings, the Sattva-guna human beings are the ones that the Lord has more favor for. So this hierarchy is based upon the consciousness of the living entity from Tamaguna to Rajaguna to Sattva-guna, and then to devotion. So in this way, the living entities are dear to the Supreme Lord. And therefore the scriptures tell us to respect these different living entities, all living entities, and then among human beings, the Brahmana, and then among human beings, highest of all is the Vaishnava. And then among Vaishnavas, we have the Mahabhagava Uttam Vaishnava, and he's given the most respect. So this is the system. Of course, there's another reason in terms of bhakti for this. Not only is the Lord present, but by giving respect to the Vaishnava, the bhakti, which is the mercy of the Lord, flows from one devotee to the other. So the transmission of bhakti takes place through giving proper respect to the devotees. It is not there in the Brahmanas and others who are not devotees, but in the devotee there's a special function of respect, and that is it allows for the transmission of knowledge and mercy. So therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, pranipat. One approaches the devotee or the tattva darshan, one who knows the truth, and one offers respect. And that is a qualification for getting knowledge. So therefore, the transmission of knowledge and mercy and bhakti takes place through giving proper respect to the Vaishnava. So there we get a very good purpose in for respecting the Vaishnava. We get bhakti, which is the highest principle. Therefore, respect is taught in the Varnashram system, and we have respect to Brahmanas, and we have respect to higher living entities, Devatas, who are more sattva-gunas than the Brahmanas. So therefore, we have Devata worship in the scriptures. Sometimes people ask why we have to have worship of Devatas, because they're also respectable. They are servants of the Lord. They are devotees of the Lord. They are sattva-gun, superior to Brahmanas even. However, when we respect others without a relationship with the Lord, then this is not considered proper. So we worship the Devatas independent of the Lord. No good. We worship people not because they are related to the Lord or the Lord is in the boat, for some other particular reason. It's a material reason. So people worship leaders, political leaders, or people worship actors or actresses. They do puja to them, whatever. It's all material. Nothing. It's not that respect. It's not what it's talked about here. They don't see the Lord in those living entities. They're seeing a material body. So in the material world, we have respect and worship or whatever, all material reasons. It's not related to the Lord at all. So when Kapila talks about giving respect to all living entities, that's because of the relationship with the Supreme Lord, in that sense. And because some living entities reveal the Lord more, they are given more respect. So the in the traditional system, we have the Brahmana, the highest member of the Varnas. He is given respect by the other persons in the system. Because he is the representative of the Lord as far as material nature is concerned. Sattva-guna is more of a representative of the Lord than Tamaguna or Rajaguna. It's not the best, of course, but it is preferable. Better than that, of course, is the Vaishnava. But within the Varnashram system, talking about gunas, then we have the Brahmana. So he is given respect. So the people, the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and Sudras give respect to the Brahmana. And those in Tamaguna and Rajaguna give respect to the Brahmana. By doing that, what happens? Gradually, they also elevate to Sattva-guna. They develop Sattva-guna qualities, though it takes many births. So that is one purpose of the whole system. Of course, the other aspect of the Brahmana is because he is in Sattva-guna, he is qualified to thoroughly understand the Vedas. And therefore, this is a bridge towards becoming a Vaishnava. He gets the real conclusion of the Vedas, then he becomes a Vaishnava. So those Brahmanas who are Vaishnavas are given great respect. Their ability to give bhakti is there. So here, Bali is expressing himself as a typical king. The king institutes dharma, and he follows the principles to set an example for the common people. So therefore, he is obliged to respect the Brahmana. We see Krishna also respects the Brahmana. So when Sridhama comes to his house in Dwarka, his palace, and Krishna sits him down and begins to worship him with lamps and chamara and everything like this, and Lakshmi is there also. And everybody's astonished how this poor Brahmana with torn clothing is coming, and Krishna is giving him respect. So one reason is because this is the system that the king must follow. He must worship the Brahmana. And when Narada Muni comes, he does the same thing. He starts worshiping Narada Muni. Because that is the system. Or similarly, when Yudhisthira is there, and then a Brahmana comes, then he must worship him properly. So that is the duty of the king. For setting an example to others, they have to worship the Brahmana. So Bali is also following the system, even though he's actually comes from a demon family, and ultimately, though they may respect Brahmanas in one sense, they do not see the relationship with the Supreme Lord. So again, it is false respect. So when we have others, like Hiranyakasipu, he may respect some Brahmanas also for his purposes, to get some material benefits from them or whatever. That's all false, because actually he doesn't see any relationship with Vishnu at all. He wants to destroy Vishnu or whatever. So, and of course, we have some, like Kamsa, he says, okay, the best thing is let's destroy the Brahmanas. And then we can injure the Supreme Lord. We can pull the Supreme Lord from his position, Vishnu, because we destroy the Brahmanas, because he's affectionate to the Brahmanas. So you have these different types of demons with their strategies. So anyway, Bali, he understands the nature of the Brahmana, the nature of the Supreme Lord, etc., more than the other demons, even though he comes in a demon family. So that's his good credit, so to speak. He's actually a devotee of the Lord. So, though by respecting Bali, the Vamana, and giving him his wish, desire, there is a risk, because Sukracharya warned them of this. Bali is willing to take that risk. So apart from being determined to give charity, which we call dan-vira, enthusiasm to do charitable works, which is quite prominent in a kshatriya, we also have a display of his devotion, that he will obey the Supreme Lord, even if it means he has to materially suffer. So he's willing to tolerate any material circumstance in his worship of the Supreme Lord. So that is a quality of the devotee. One of the prerequisites, one of the bhakti angas, I think it's the sixth anga, is that one gives up material enjoyment for the sake of Krishna. So that's a prerequisite for doing hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. We have to have that preliminary willingness to give up material enjoyment in order to please Krishna. Now we'll say, oh, that's impossible, I've got so many material desires, etc. But the very nature of bhakti is that we have ani abhilashita sunya jnana karma adhyanavratam. Of course, we can only perfect that absolutely in prema, but we start in sadhana bhakti with that process. So there has to be the willingness to give up material things for Krishna, even though we cannot do it perfectly. But if we don't even have that willingness, and we just want to hold on to everything in the material world, and I worship Krishna, but anyway, I don't want to give anything up, then we cannot progress. So that is why the example is given of the boatman with the anchor in the river, and he's trying to go up the river, and then when the morning he sees he's in the same place. Then he can't progress. If we have no willingness at all to give up material enjoyment and material existence, then we cannot go anywhere. Implicit in accepting the Supreme Lord is we're rejecting the material world. Though we cannot do it perfectly. We understand material world, material body, identification with body, material enjoyment is all illusory, useless, etc. It's implicit. So we cannot do it perfectly in the beginning, but at least the impetus to do it is there. If it's not there at all, then actually our bhakti is all false. So, therefore, the devotee is willing to give up material things, lose material things for the Supreme Lord. And sacrifice for the Supreme Lord. This ultimately is illustrated by Bali Maharaj, where not only he gives the two steps of land, he gives the third step of land by offering himself to the Lord. So he gives everything to the Lord, that is Atman Vedana. So that means that the Lord's interest is greater than his own interest. He gives up his own interest for the Lord's interest. So he's the famous example of this, because in the beginning it was bhakti. He carried out this process and offered himself to the Supreme Lord. So in the beginning of devotional service also, we have to do something similar. We offer ourselves to the Supreme Lord. But because we're doing sadhana, this is not perfect. And therefore we go through the whole process of sadhana to increase that desire to offer everything to the Lord until all of the material desires are completely eradicated. So that is basically the whole system of bhakti. It means that we are willing to give up everything for the Supreme Lord. Well, yes, of course. course, everything belongs to the Lord, like Nitya Krishna Das. The jiva is eternally the servant of the Lord. But unfortunately, most of the jivas in the material world don't accept that. They're in ignorance. So in bhakti, we also begin from a position of ignorance, thinking that I am my body, and my body or my body belongs to me, and I can enjoy with my material body. So we have to counteract that. So one is knowledge. So we get the knowledge from scripture. So because of faith or shraddha, we accept that knowledge. We accept the version of scripture. We open the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna says, you're not the body, you're the Atma. Then we accept that. If we want to argue with this, say, I don't believe this, then of course we have no faith. But if we have faith in scripture, we accept it. So then we have knowledge. But then we also have to do something with that knowledge. So I'm not the body, and then actually I am Krishna's servant. So then, if we still enjoy in the material world, we take everything and we enjoy the material body, what does that mean? It means we still think we're a material body, and we're never going to get out of that illusion. So the whole process of bhakti is actions dedicated to the Supreme Lord. And by doing that, the Atma develops more and more attraction for the Lord and less identity with his material body. So though technically, yes, everything belongs to the Supreme Lord, bhakti is a process of offering to the Supreme Lord for our in sadhana bhakti so that we can actually realize that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. In prema, they also offer to the Supreme Lord. Of course, we say, yes, everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. So what is the motive there? The motive is simply an expression of their affection for the Lord. They offer something to the Lord out of affection. Just as in this material world, people have birthday parties and they give gifts to people out of affection. So we offer to the Lord out of affection, even though it belongs to him ultimately. But we offer to express affection. Yeah, therefore it is advised we do not do extreme austerities. Tapas in the mode of ignorance, you harm your own body, etc. You torture your body. And that's not advisable because it is the abode of the Supreme Lord. So the Vaishnava austerity is quite simple. It does not involve 50 days of fasting or things like this. It is a one-day fast, and even if you can't fast, then you can take non-grains. So it is not considered to be so extreme. So it may be an inconvenience, but it is not torturing the body or harming the body. Unless, of course, one has a medical problem, in which case one doesn't have to fast. So, therefore, it is the minimum vrata. So that's our tapas. It's the minimum tapas compared to jnana and yoga and even karma, where they do extended vratas. Oh, well, it was just the verse yesterday that, you know, Vishnu is worthy of worship, but more than that, the Vaishnava is worthy of worship. Yeah, this is quoted yesterday. Well, Skanda Prana. Of course, we like in the many quotes. Mahatma Satham, for instance. Yeah, that verse is there. So many verses there. Bhagavatam, obviously, we see. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya, etc. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita glorification of serving Vaishnavas, etc. Bali Maharaj is fully surrendering when he is completely defeated and lost. He is offering himself because he has lost when he was opulent. How can this be a Atmanivedana? Well, he actually begins to offer even before he has lost everything because he refuses to follow the instruction of Sukracharya. But, of course, he was forced, in one sense, to give himself when Vamana took the three steps of land. So he was put in a particular circumstance in which he expressed his Atmanivedana. So we can say, that's not pure Atmanivedana in a sense because he was impelled by circumstances to do so. And that is true. Normally people, they may worship the Supreme Lord because they're in problems or whatever. So their bhakti is impelled by suffering in the material world or because of lack and they want something. In the case of Bali, he had to fulfill his promise, so he was forced into that position to surrender himself. But the positive aspect is that he actually offered himself after everything is offered in terms of the whole material world was covered. He did not think of trying to escape or doing something else or tricking the Lord or whatever. He very willingly submitted himself to the Supreme Lord. So that was his choice to do that. If we take Kamsa and he was chained up or whatever, he would not do that. Or if we have Hiranyakasipu, he will not surrender himself. But Bali chose to surrender. So that's the positive part of it. The negative part is, of course, the situation. It was impelled by the situation. However, even that we can say is just a pastime of the Supreme Lord. Because we see that even though Bali was born in a demon family, even before he was forced to do that, he was willing to sacrifice everything for Vishnu, as we see in this verse. Even before he got everything taken away, I'll undergo suffering because it is the Supreme Lord. So he was definitely not the ordinary demon. He actually was a devotee. No, because some jivas in the spiritual world are there and they never fall in the material world at all. So that compassion is illustrated there by experiencing ananda. The reason we have a material world with all the suffering is some jivas refuse to worship the Lord in the material world. That's why there's a material world, because some jivas eternally refuse to serve the Lord. So there's a material world for them. What? Yeah, they're satisfied because they want. Jivas want to enjoy separately from the Lord, get their own material enjoyment. So therefore he supplies the material world so they can do that. That's all. That's his compassion also. And it's mixed with suffering so that the jivas will eventually give up that conception of the material body and take the spiritual life. So even the suffering in the material world is only a reflection of his compassion to help them advance to the stage where they realize the material body is useless. Who's not worthy of respect? Generally, the elders are worthy of respect, but then again, we do have conditions. If the elder is a demon, are we going to respect him and do everything he says? Yeah. Prahlad's father is Hiranyakasipu. Are we going to respect him and do everything he says simply because he's a father? So there's also, conditions where it may not be possible or advisable to respect your father, but when he gives you completely sinful and anti-Vaishnava instructions. So it's a general principle, but then again, there are exceptions to the rule. And here we have another exception here, where Bali refuses to follow the order of his guru, who is his elder. He doesn't follow because he says, don't worship Vishnu. So then he doesn't follow. So then he's not worthy of being followed, even if he's an elder of the guru. Not qualified. Well, we may give superficial respect, but we don't have to follow that order. One is following the order, so in that sense, we don't have to follow that order. In terms of deliberately disrespecting him, that's another thing. You don't have to do that, but we just don't follow the order. And we can maintain official respect in other ways by not insulting them in public or something like that. Yeah. But it may not be visible to others. So in other words, okay, your parents tell you, oh, don't worship Krishna. So you don't go around the neighborhood saying, he's a demon. You don't have to do that. But you don't have to follow their instruction. You can worship Krishna, that's all. So we don't insult people deliberately also. So in that way, we also preserve the idea. We give respect to all living entities, including parents and elders and brahmanas and whatever like that. Yeah. You don't have to follow their orders. The Lord gives Bali power to conquer the demigods, and the same time the Lord takes away his power to make him surrender to him. Why so? Well, ultimately, yes, everything is given by the Lord, but then we could say, okay, the Lord gives Hiranyakasipu the power to torture Prahlad or whatever like that. Does he? So in one sense, ultimately, yes, because he's giving power to the jiva in that sense, but he also gives individual free will to jivas. So by that, they can do things which are sinful or whatever, and then they also have to get the karma for that.